21. You can't keep a bog burglar under lock and key. The spell that Hiccup had cast on the audience was instantly broken. It was as if they'd been sleeping and had suddenly woken up to the reality that they were about to be swept away by the flood. Furthermore, everyone had forgotten about the shark worms. The metal netting that should have protected the audience had been broken by Hiccup. The shark worms were back in the water again, and they were already nearly able to reach the wooden seating. The audience screamed in terror as one of the shark worms leaped upward and was almost among them. It lost its grip on the slippery edge and fell back into the water, but the water was rising so quickly it was clearly only a matter of time before it succeeded in getting up to their level. Suddenly, the afternoon's entertainment of survival of the fittest had taken an interesting twist. The audience, who had laughed so heartily at the tables being turned on the greedy flashfangs, didn't seem so amused to find they themselves had become the prey. They stormed towards the entrance, shoving each other out of the way and screaming for the doors to be opened. The pressure of the water on the doors caused them to open anyway. They burst apart and the water poured out and down the hillside. Fishlegs and Kamikaze turned their attention to steering the boat. The flying Hiccup descended and landed beside them on the deck. Toothless appeared from nowhere and perched on his shoulder. "I am lost for words," said Kamikaze. "How did you do it?" Hiccup pointed to his shirt. "Look a little closer," he said. The Vikings craned forward. Hiccup's shirt seemed to have changed colour. Indeed, when they looked closer still, it seemed not to be a shirt at all. It was made up of millions and millions of tiny winged creatures, all practically invisible to the naked eye, and all clinging to Hiccup's clothing underneath. This was what had caused Hiccup to fly. The numberless armies of Ziggurastica. The little nanodragon himself flew out from his position of command on Hiccup's chest to bow to the Vikings.
"This terrible, terrible plan," announced Ziggurastica joyfully, "has worked beautifully. I, Ziggurastica the Mighty, have made it do this. How wonderful I am! How glorious is my empire! How numerous and powerful are my peoples!"
"We were lucky too," grinned Hiccup.
"I am almost sorry to leave you, O boy with no muscles at all," said Ziggurastica sorrowfully. "But we are quits now. I have saved your life in exchange for you saving mine, and you are still a stinking human after all."
"Thanks," said Hiccup.
"But this has been a great day for the little creatures of the world."
Ziggurastica gave a single command, and the nanodragons instantly rose in a grey mass, like a small thundercloud, and disappeared into the sky. As they rose, they sang a song that the Romans would have been wise to listen to, but they were too busy panicking. A warning to emperors.
"Watch out, O Romans, with your empires and your stinking breath. Watch out for the smaller things of this world, for we are going to get you one day. You live your lives up in the skies, building your aqueducts and your coliseums, and you never think of us, ticking away in the grasses. But we see you. And if you bend your ear, you just might hear the steady beat of countless feet that come to eat the wall that curls 100 miles across a continent, that temple built with the tears of millions of slaves, and all your most mighty and splendid creations shall turn to dust in our mouths. So watch out, O Caesars with fat bottoms and hard hearts. Watch out. Goodbye, O boy with arms like pieces of string," sang Ziggurastica. "And may the winds that blow you be strong."